Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Saturdays at 8 a.m., don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees, and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole.
I see more foot and ankle problems initially than I see any of those other categories. Foot fractures were the number one injury that was treated at Combine this year.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m., here on 670 The Score.
Your wallet. Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA member FDIC.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Honda CRV. Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental Difference.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Public and confidential. I think, as public as it needs to be, I think is the best answer. Like, I'm not sure we're going to roll guys out here for press conferences and everything. It's something that we did, I think, for the first time, 15 years ago. I don't necessarily want to do that, but we'll try to make sure it's a smooth process and you guys can follow along at an appropriate distance.
Middays on The Score.
Well, what's an appropriate distance, Theo? You're just walking out of the Starbucks there doing your little glamour shot. I don't know. I mean, obviously you want us to see what's going on. Let's talk about the Cubs with Sahadev Sharma. He knows all about them. He has been busy with them for this entire season that is still kind of going, even though they're done playing baseball. He's on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Sahadev.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Are you following from an appropriate distance, or have you gotten to the inappropriate distances?
Well, I'm not staking out the offices and waiting to talk to Girardi or Ross just yet. I'll leave that to others for now. But honestly, if we're gonna be completely honest here, I really think yes, you have to hire the right manager, get the right person in place. I just think for this offseason, it's the first step. It's not the biggest step. This offseason is so critical. We say that a lot. Obviously, every offseason is pretty critical, but this one just feels so huge. And I really think the biggest impact is not going to be who they hire for manager. I've said all along that I feel strongly that it's likely going to be Ross. Obviously, things can change during the interviewing process, and surprises can happen, and people can be, really blow Theo and Jed out of the water with an interview, perhaps, and really say some things that strike a chord with them. But I really think how they change things in the background with the player development and amateur scouting, and the players that they add and who they trade and how aggressive they are and what type of value certain players have on the trade market. I think that's what's going to decide this team's future. And if we can start to trust Theo Epstein and this front office again to really put together one of the best rosters in baseball, like we all expected them to do year after year after what we saw in 15 and 16.
I'm with you, Sahadev. I think that's absolutely critical, and I think while the manager matters some, the bigger part is how they change the nuts and bolts of how they develop players and which players they're looking at. What do you know, if anything yet, about the Cubs' search for director of hitting and director of pitching? Theo mentioned that those are likely additions. Are those contingent on who gets hired as a manager? Are those separate hires altogether, and where do they fit? Where should they fit in the hierarchy?
Yeah, no, those are separate, and it's all about, this is key with the manager as well. Look at the Astros and how AJ Hinch is, right? He's essentially a part of the front office, and he's not a yes man. Nobody would call AJ Hinch a yes man, but he is very strongly united with Lanao, and they have a lot of collaboration and communication. So when you talk about a director of pitching, director of hitting, they're going to be a huge part of making sure this collaboration and communication works, that Tommy Hotovy is talking to the director of pitching, and when there's a guy in double A that's doing something and the Cubs are missing that, it's like, hey, maybe we skip this guy. Maybe this guy's ready to come up right away type stuff. These are the types of things that we're doing to maximize these talents. And it's happening in rookie ball. It's happening in double A, and it's happening at the major leagues. And they have similar concepts and ways to describe these things and ways to communicate. It's all going to be, you know, a huge, the organization is going to be one unit in a sense. And the Cubs kind of fell behind in that, behind teams like the Astros, like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, teams that they kind of envy that they're able to do these things at all levels and improve players, not only through development in the minor leagues, but at the major league level. As far as who these guys are going to be, the director of hitting, director of pitching, I'm still working on. I have had some lines of communication out, and I believe that it's going to be wrapped up sooner rather than later, but I think the focus is the manager right now, so it's kind of taking a little bit of a back burner.
You reported right before last season began that Theo and Jed, this is part of a report about how they were going to be more hands-on. Part of it was literal proximity, was working out of an office that was closer to the clubhouse, of making sure that everybody knew that they were in charge of this thing, that they were aware of what was going on. That was the article that you wrote about the circled games, if I remember correctly. What happens now? What happens if we assume that no matter who the manager is more of a front office piece, more of a conduit for what they want? Must they maintain more visibility and presence, or is that just assumed now to be the case, that they don't have to play any of those optics games anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question in the sense, I mean, they traveled more. I saw Jed and Theo on the road a lot more this past season. I assume that was something that the players suggested to them as well. This wasn't like Theo trying to have a heavy hand and say, I'm going to be more involved because you need me there. I think the players wanted to see them around too and kind of get that feeling of what I just discussed, like everybody's working together. I'd be surprised if that changed outside of, you know, when you move up higher in the chain, the travel does reduce a bit, and you would think that, more time with the family and stuff like that, that's the benefits of being higher up in the food chain in this business. But it's also, you know, these are ultra-competitive people that if that's what they believe they need to do to create that culture and build what they expect and want, then yeah, they'll make those sacrifices and continue to travel as much as they did and be around the team in that fashion, not only at home but on the road.
So out of most Cubs fans, or at least most that we've heard of, that don't like the idea of hiring David Ross, deride it as kind of like a crony hire or like the easy hire, or maybe just following in the footsteps of other teams that have made similar hires. Does that have merit at all to you?
I think it's because, you know, it's easy for fans to just say, oh, he was, you know, he's just a player that got along with all the other players, and now this is the trend in baseball. But Ross was pegged as a manager well before he came to the Cubs. This wasn't something that they just pulled out of the sky and said, yep, this guy's a manager. I mean, this was something that a lot of people expected. I mean, he's just like you talk about the other names that are kind of the hot name, so to say, Carlos Beltran, Raul Ibanez. Sure, they're not all interviewing for jobs. I think Ibanez has pulled his name out of consideration. But these were guys that were pegged for these jobs as players. Do they always work out? No. I mean, look at Mike Matheny. There's numerous other names that we could list that haven't worked out. So if it's not going to work out, it's not because, he was a teammate with these guys or this is a bad trend or whatever they want to point to. It's just because he wasn't the right guy at the right time. I think it would make sense if he's the guy that they choose. I understand it. He's a guy that, you know, was a team leader, and those skills usually do translate well to be a manager. He's not these guys that people that suggest that he's their buddy and he won't be able to be their boss, or he won't be able to call them out. I mean, he did all those things. And I think John Lester said it well. Like, if someone's your boss, he's your boss. You just listen to them. You just do the job. It's your job. It's not like in the real world we don't see equals get promoted ahead of you, that were your equal and your friend, and now they're your boss. That happens in the real world, too. Why can't it happen in baseball? I mean, we've seen it work with the Yankees. We've seen it work with other teams. I think all that stuff is overblown. If he's the best, if you want to just debate whether he's capable of doing the job, fine. If your anger is that he was their teammate or this is the trend and they're just following the trend, I'm not sure I really agree with that. You know, the trend is a trend for a reason. It's working.
No matter who they want to hire, would they be well served to at least interview people outside the organization in other organizations? And I guess I'm talking about Joe Espada being the guy on the team that everybody feels is state of the art. And if you get some Astros institutional knowledge in there, if you get one of these 8 or 10 hour interviews to pick a guy's brain, even if you don't end up hiring him, aren't you closer to winning a World Series knowing a little bit more about how he would do his business?
Sure. No, I agree with that. It was something Patrick and I talked about when this first popped up. You know, we both agree that Ross is the heavy favorite and we'd be surprised if he's not the guy. But these interviews serve a purpose. So like you said, there's a reason Girardi's was 8 hours and Ross's was 4. They already know Ross. They know what they've been talking to him for years. You know, they can maybe take something from Girardi, who was with the Yankees when all this, you know, when they really turned things around. They could definitely pick stuff up from Espada. These are long processes, and how they do discuss things that they would do as manager. I mean, that's part of the interview process. So during those discussions, there may be something shared that maybe gives you some sort of edge or insight into how these teams develop that edge. I think it's completely worthwhile. Maybe you gather nothing, or maybe it's a minimal thing, but every little bit of knowledge that you gather, however small it may be, can help.
Let me ask you about a specific name, just because it's one of these names around the fringes, and he has been involved with the Cubs. He's worked with some other teams as well. I know he was involved in spring training this year. He's a Chicago guy, Chicago-based baseball instructor named Justin Stone. And if you're not going to go, oh yeah, Justin Stone from Elite Baseball, and he's worked out of Bash over on the Northwest side, and he's taught everybody's kid how to hit and throw, and he's moved up in the business being really good at Kinetrax and some of the other modalities. Is that the kind of guy they're looking at for some sort of director of hitting, more of a teacher technician type, or are they also looking for somebody with a scouting background?
No, I think you're right. It's someone more in that mold, in the, you know, when you're talking about director of pitching, like a Kyle Body mode. Mm-hmm. You know, people like that have been in the business in different ways, that are willing to kind of think outside the box, because they were forced to, right? They were forced to think outside of the box for anyone to even listen to them, for them to have a chance. They couldn't just do the same thing, for anyone to pay attention to them or for them to gain any traction. They have to do something different. If they were doing the same thing, nobody would have paid attention, because you already have experts doing those things. So they had to think outside the box, find different ways to do it. And you know, with Body especially, there's a track record now. You can see that, you know, we can talk about the injury factor that probably isn't discussed enough, but there's certainly something working with everything that they've done. I mean, you guys talk about it on the show all the time, MVP machine. There's something to it. These teams are ahead of the curve, and they figured it out. I think my biggest question, when I listen back to what Theo said, when I look at the direction that they're going, I think they're making the right decisions. They need to catch up, but I really hope that it's not just about catching up. You need to start setting the new trends. You need to figure out what's next. They can't just rely on catching up. They fell behind. Now the goal shouldn't be to catch up. The goal should be, okay, everybody needs to catch up to us. A couple years from now, we're going to be the ones that they're talking about, that look what we found, look what trends we set. Theo has to be thinking that way. I'd be very surprised if he's not. And that, you know, with all the talk of we're trying to catch up, we're trying to do this, we fell behind. He did say innovate and being cutting edge, finding the next cutting edge technology. He did say that, but I hope that's the focus and the real goal. That has to be.
Spending a little time talking over the future of the Chicago Cubs with Sahadev Sharma. You can follow him on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. In for Lawrence Holmes today. Sahadev, I've seen your Twitter mentions, and I've looked at the comments on your articles, my friend. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why so many people expect, hope, or pray for the Cubs to either decline Jose Quintana's option or trade him as though he is a problem at $10.5 million for the 2020 season. Do you get where this any of that's coming from?
I'll say this. If he wouldn't have had such a disastrous September, I can understand the desire to trade him and kind of open up a hole in the rotation if you're addressing it in other ways. It all comes down to value, and it all comes down to what you're getting. I think Theo said it. You consider trading anyone because if it fills a hole, if you have depth in that area, whatever it may be, and I think that's a really important thing that he said. You know, you consider who you're trading if you're trying to fill a separate hole and if you have depth in that area. People cannot forget that he said that. I think that's one of the keys to what he said last Monday. I don't completely disagree with those people, even if they're coming at it from an angle that's not completely rational and it's just based on anger and throwing their fists in the air and being angry that Quintana has not paid off the Eloy and Cease costs that it took to get him. But I do understand where they're kind of coming from, and honestly, I've heard that from pro scouts and people that are trying to think outside the box of ways to fix this team. Yeah. Quintana's name is one that, hey, maybe you try and dangle. But again, this was before September when I was talking to people about these things. How do you fix this team? I don't think you can do it after the September he had. That was utterly disastrous. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but they're not pretty. And I think he barely went five innings majority of the time he was out there, and he was giving up four or five runs. So the numbers have to be absolutely atrocious from September. And I would assume that the value that he holds on the market right now, even $10.5 million is not a lot.
Right.
Especially for, it doesn't matter if he's a fifth starter, that's still cheap. You can't get that on the open market. I mean, Tyler Chatwood costs what, 12 and a half a year. So, I get where they're coming from. I just don't think it can happen right now.
When do the real conversations begin to take place as Theo Epstein's phone rings and he can begin evaluating what a trade of one or more of the core players would actually bring? How and when does that get going?
Yeah, it's going to start happening in early November where you start to kind of get the feel of what's out there and what's available. You know, the GM meetings happen that first or second week of November. We'll be out in the Phoenix area, Scottsdale. And I think that's where you start to, the front offices are together. They're having their meetings. They're really kind of setting the exact plan. They have their budgets. They know what they want and what they're trying to do. And you start to get a real feel in early November. And obviously by the time the winter meetings come in early December, I would expect the Cubs to be rather aggressive. You know, again, what kind of value can they get is going to dictate all of this, but it would just be so disappointing if the same roster comes back pretty much intact with tiny little adjustments here and there, especially on offense. It would just be a surprise. I could almost understand the justification, but I can't imagine that Cubs fans are going to accept it.
Oh, God, no. They'd be furious. What, as we wrap it up here, Sahadev, do you have any expectations of a dark horse candidate for the managerial spot emerging? And if Joe Espada fits the bill there, then that's fine and that's all. But do you think they have all their guys, together and ready and set for interviews? And also, is there a chance David Ross gets an interview somewhere else, or does his status as front runner here for the Cubs job kind of ward off other teams?
Yeah, I think to answer the second question first, I think he is kind of focused on the Cubs. I think that's what he wants, and he's willing to, he's thought about this a lot, obviously, and the fact that he's going through this process means he's willing to sacrifice the family time and everything that he said. All the reasons he was retiring, I think he's willing to put those to the side and focus on baseball again. As far as the dark horse, I'd be surprised if there's someone that just pops up. I haven't heard any whispers of, hey, watch out for this guy or anything like that. I mean, Espada really would be the guy. I mean, there are multiple connections to the org, too. He's Brandon Hyde's brother-in-law. I believe there were some ties from another organization that he was with. He makes a lot of sense. If Ross wasn't such a clear-cut candidate, I really think they just waited out until he can interview and he could be like the, he would be a strong leader if it wasn't for Ross. So I'm still in the mold of, this is Ross's job to lose. If something happens along the way, it surprises us. Hey, that happens a lot. Mm-hmm.